Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues each and every day. Let me remind you, Let's Face the Issues is formatted on the basis of a Q&A, question and answer. We'll postulate the scenario, ask the question, invite you to call in with your dialogue and discussion, your question or your answer in relationship to the particular issue that we're dealing with each and every day. And lest I forget it, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We'll be talking about an issue today that will probably give most people lockjaw. It's a subject that most Christians want to surreptitiously, secretly do without it being open, and yet there are a lot of Christians that will openly say that drinking is all right. After all, Jesus turned the water into wine, don't you know? So we'll be talking about today the myth of moderation. The myth of moderation. What does it mean, moderation? How do you drink in moderation? What is moderation? One drink, two drinks, 10 drinks, when is it moderate? Is that what the scripture says? Ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line with what we do say are our actions and our deeds ought to be directed by the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. That's what we hang on to. We cling to that. We mention that each and every day. I call it the truth book. It is the truth of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God that ought to motivate our lives, ought to direct what we say and what we do each and every day. It's a matter of standing on the truth of God's word. Ladies and gentlemen, in John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, the scripture says, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the word of God. So, ladies and gentlemen, we talk about a subject like moderation, the myth of moderation, and we're talking about alcoholic beverages. When we talk about that, it's not a matter of what some preacher says. It's not a matter of what a denomination says. It's not based on what a dogma in some liturgy might say. It's a matter of what does the word of God say. That's the first, foremost, and the final adjudication of any subject that we deal with. Truth is rejected today, whether it be theological, doctrinal, biblical, or political, or social, economic. Truth is rejected. In fact, in Psalms 117:2, says the truth of the Lord endures forever. It is the truth that should direct our footsteps. Yet today in society, it was George Orwell, the secularist, that made a powerful statement that I believe is apropos, applicable in the subject that we're talking about today. George Orwell stated, this was from his dystopian novel titled 1984, written back in the late 40s. But Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. I believe it was Plato that said the most hated word or person in the world is the one that speaks the truth. And I believe that's what we're seeing today. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we talk about this issue today, the myth of moderation. Perhaps you're listening. Perhaps as you listen, it steps on your toes. perhaps as you listen, you think, well, that man is wrong. I want to hear from you. Tell me why I'm wrong. Tell me what scripture you lean on that directs you to think that drinking is all right for the Christian. May I say to you today, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And we're standing on the truth of the Word of God, regardless of what denominational dogma may say, political, ideological bent may say. We're standing on the truth of the Word of God. And that ought to be the position for each and every person under the sound of my voice today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of the homeowner brand like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators with the hurricane preparedness equipment, ladies and gentlemen, that each and every individual would need. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's right in the heart of Mandarin, the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions. House and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. It's a great place to work, ladies and gentlemen. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview and see what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a brief monologue, and after the monologue, we'll start taking your calls. I'm thankful for each and every one of you that's tuned in today. We have Pastor Davis, Pastor Glenn Davis from up in Georgia, Folkestone, Georgia.
Amen.
Thank you
Amen.
For being with us today.
Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood, for allowing me to be here. I thank God for, first of all, being the head of my life, and I want to say good morning to my bride for 36 years and to all my family and friends that are listening on today. Amen. To First Conservative Baptist Church family. I call you family.
Amen.
Amen on today. Love each and every one of you. Amen. WWLTC. All the wonderful, amen, churches, amen, amen, that I'm associated with and affiliated with. Thank God for each and every one of you on today. But we need to listen carefully, Dr. Youngblood, because what we are talking about on today shouldn't be a subject of controversy.
That's right.
Amongst the people of God. Yet some have made it to be
That's
that
right.
way.
That's right.
It should not be.
Should
but
not
if
be.
We are dedicating our hearts and minds and souls to God in the way that we should be, we can ill afford, Dr. Youngblood, to be at any point in time out of our minds to where we can't make the right decisions.
That's right.
So it's very important for us to listen up today.
It is
amen,
vital.
Amen. And get the truth from the Word of God.
It is vital. And after all, it's the Word of God that's the final foremost authority. But ladies and gentlemen, we live in a time of compromise. We hear about compromise in Washington, and supposedly compromise is good. We hear about the politicians talking about passing legislation by reaching across the aisles in compromise. But compromise seems to have entered into the front doors of our churches today. Compromise seemingly permeates our churches and our theology and our doctrine.
Today. Amen. Amen.
Most denominations today now embrace the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. Many of our churches today are teaching and advocating for the CRT from the pulpits. Many today are not standing against Planned Parenthood, but in fact embracing it. Murder by the millions of the infant in the womb seemingly is not a major problem even among Christians and churches today. Today's churches are refusing to stand on the Word of God and simply modulating and moderating the Word of God. It is the myth of moderation, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Whatever we say, whatever we do, it's just a matter of how you do it and what you say. Ladies and gentlemen, today's churches are referring to their doctrines and their theological positions as progressive. It was Franklin Graham back in the Decision magazine in April of this year said progressive churches, progressive pastors and churches are going to send more people to hell than you ever dreamed possible. Progressive. Then you have those that are moderate. I know in the I've heard them talk about it in the Southern Baptist Convention. You have your progressives, your moderates, your conservatives, and your rank liberals. What is a moderate? What does it mean to moderate? What is moderation? What does it mean? Exactly what does moderation mean biblically? There's a question about authority. Those that are progressives, those that are moderates, simply have a question about the authority of Scripture. They believe that there is errors in the Scripture. They believe that you cannot place your faith and trust and confidence totally and completely in the Scripture.
Amen.
There's a question about the person's salvation. How is a person saved? We're talking about the progressives and the moderates today. There's a question about how a person is saved. There's doubt about the reality of hell for the moderate, for the progressive today. There are many that believe that there's more than one way to be saved, not just believing in Jesus. George Barner recently did the survey on that and found some astounding, outstanding, atrocious numbers, percentages, very, very low percentages of pastors today believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. And so if you disavow and you disbelieve and you do not embrace the inerrancy of Scripture, then you can be a moderate. You can be a progressive. You can be, have that, Pastor, I call it the loosey-goosey theology.
Amen. Amen.
It is literally the goosebump theology,
Amen.
The cotton candy theology, the voodoo theology.
Amen. We have too much of that.
Have too much of it.
Amen.
And that's,
praise
that's,
God.
This is the very reason that we find so many Christians today wondering if they can take a drink, wonder if it's all right, and many pastors will say that it's all right. The way to be saved is only one way. It's through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The way to interpret the Scriptures only one way. It's the literal interpretation of what the Scripture says. But ladies and gentlemen, there are multitudes today that will tell you that a Christian can drink alcoholic beverages and just drink in moderation. Just drink in moderation. So what does moderation mean? And I just jotted down a couple of notes, Pastor. Not to drink in excess. What does that mean? Drink, just don't get drunk. That's drinking in moderation, as they will tell you. Know your limits of drinking. Know when you need to stop drinking. Ladies and gentlemen, that's all heresy, and it's erroneous based on the authority of Scripture. I believe we have a caller on the line. Give me the question or comment, please.
Hey, Dr. Youngblood. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
All right. So what I'm calling to say is, first, you saying that all alcoholic beverages are wrong to enjoy? For a Christian, is that correct, what you're saying?
That's absolutely correct.
Okay, so then here's what I would rebuttal with that, Dr. Youngblood, is that wine was a blessing from God for wise and obedient living. So you can see
wait,
in Proverbs...
What scripture do you find that in?
That's what I was saying, Dr. Youngblood.
Where do you find that in Scripture?
Proverbs 3, 9 through 10 states that when we honor the Lord with our wealth and with the first fruits of our land, then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. Repeatedly, wine is listed among the abundant blessings God promises.
Hold on just a minute. I want to talk about that. What does the word wine mean? What is? You've got sikar, yanin, and you got ornas. Which one of the words is found there?
Wine.
All three words are translated in the King James Bible, wine. Which word do you find there that you're speaking of?
So would you like another scripture?
You can't answer that question, can you? Because it's not talking about sikar. It's not talking about yanin. It's not talking about alcoholic beverages. It is fresh squeezed grape juice, which is translated in the King James Bible as wine.
How would fresh squeezed grape juice burst? How would fresh squeezed grape juice burst? It can't, sir. Fermented wine is the only thing that would burst.
Let me ask you a question. Are you saying that you're a Christian, you're professing Christian, and you drink?
I believe 100%.
Is that what you're saying? As a Christ follower
myself, I 100% believe that wine is a gift from God to be used responsibly, not to get drunk with. There's a complete difference.
Well, listen very carefully. I understand what you're trying to convince me of. The Scripture says God's servants are not to... Listen. I want to talk with you. The Scripture says God's servants are not to drink. Leviticus 10, verse 8 through 10.
It does not say not to drink.
The Scripture says drinking is an attribute of disobedience, Deuteronomy 21, 20. Drinking strong drink is to be smitten by God. You're not teachable. You're not listening. You want to defend your position because you're a drunk and claiming to be a Christian.
You're being stubborn, sir, because you think that drunkenness and drinking is the same thing, but it's not. We know that
it's
not because you can have a glass of wine.
Tell me if you line up 100 people and they take one Bud Dumber how many of them will be addicted to that and how many would not out of that 100? You can't answer it because
you
don't know.
If you lined up 100 people and you gave them one glass of wine, how many would be drunk? None of them.
How many would be addicted?
Sense,
Proverbs 23 says that you're not to even look at it when it's red, when it's turning in its cup. That is alcoholic beverages.
They're referring to an alcoholic. They're not referring to a normal person that uses it responsibly. We know that.
Do you realize, sir, there are over 100 verses in the Bible that tell me that what you're saying is a lie, that you've been deceived, that you don't know what you're talking about? But thank you so much for your call. I am praying for you because you are apt to get drunk at any time if you're drinking alcoholic beverages. You can't deceive me. You cannot employ it by a strong attitude because I know what the scripture says. Studied it too many years, know what it says, and I know that there are multitudes of people today that are drunks because of drinking, and they claim that they can handle their booze, they can drink in moderation, and that's a demonic lie. But thank you for your call. Pastor, how do you respond to a person that's ignorant and a person that wants to reject the truth of the Word of God?
Well, again, Dr. Youngblood, as we said at the beginning of the program, I'm sure if we take a poll, we could find a consortium of different ideas and answers and opinions and different kind of things like that, that people have formed because they are misinformed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you go to the scriptures, scripture has the answer.
That's right.
Now, we know. Now, we're not ignorant. We know from the study of the Old Testament, there were wine drinking taking place at different times, you know, in the scripture. I mean, it was taking place. People actually did that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we get to the New Testament, Paul told Timothy to use a little wine for your stomach's infirmities.
Mm-hmm.
And then the scripture came back and said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess or debauchery.
That's right. The word excess
or uselessness.
That's right.
But be filled with the Spirit.
Let's go back to that a moment. Ephesians 5:18, you're speaking of, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. That word excess, many, just as perhaps our previous caller, many will take that mean you got to drink in moderation, not in excess. That word excess, be not drunk with wine, wherein is debauchery. And this individual that called is trying to bifurcate, segregate drunkenness with drinking.
Amen.
And the whole question is, in fact, it is an amazing thing to me that you have those that will say that. Let me just look at a statement by a person that many know. His name is Max Licato. Max Licato, a well-known Christian leader, made the statement about Christians drinking alcoholic beverages. Here's the six things that Max Licato says. Alcohol can be consumed as long as it's only consumed in moderation, like soda, like ice cream. You will not be any less Christian because you indulge in something in moderation. Secondly, he says, Christians should not judge other Christians who choose to drink in moderation. That word moderation is used again. Just consuming a beer or mixed drink is not going to change your belief in Jesus Christ. I'm quoting Max Licato. Max Licato said, if you're going out after work to hang out with the crowd, with a few friends and others, and have a few drinks during happy hour, that's not a problem. Fifthly, he says, drinking is okay. Just don't get drunk. Stay sober. Sixth, he says, don't let loose on your faith and don't bend the rules just because you're having a good time drinking alcoholic beverages, end quote. Now, Pastor, there's something wrong with each and every one of his statements because that simply cannot be founded in the Word of God. It is simply a deceived mind that believes because in Proverbs 20, verse 1 says, let me just read Proverbs 20, verse 1. This is what it says. Wine is a strong drink. And by the way, that word wine, there's the word yanin. Yanin and sikar is talking about fermented drink, not talking about ornas, which is simply fresh grape juice. We'll see that in just a moment in our study. Wine is mockery, strong and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And in the Proverbs text, it's comparing a fool with one that has wisdom.
Amen. Amen.
And it's saying, if you put it in the Youngblood Vernacular Translation, it says, is deceived thereby is a fool. In fact, you go to Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 29 and following, and we find that over and over and over spoken of, and it gives a whole litany of what happens to a person that is deceived by strong drink. It Amen. Is a dangerous, dangerous, deadly thing for a person to fall into the category of thinking that somehow, some way, they can drink and just not get drunk.
Amen.
As I tried to get the raging listener that did not want to be taught but wanted to teach me, he wanted to teach us that somehow, some way, he's right by a strong-armed attitude on it, and it's not correct. I simply go by what the Scripture says, nothing more, nothing less. And there are over 100 verses dealing with alcoholic beverages in the Scripture, and I've studied each and every one of them. So I challenge any listener that wants to challenge the Scripture, you go ahead and challenge the Scripture. You're not going to challenge me with it, but you can challenge the Scripture. You can challenge God if you'd like to. Tell God if you want to.
And then, Dr. Youngblood, if you read just a little bit further back in that same book of Proverbs that he just quoted, if you go to Proverbs 31,
yes,
this is King Lemuel's mother speaking to him. He said, it is not for kings, in verse number 4, Proverbs 31 and 4, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted.
Yes.
So this is telling me, Dr. Youngblood, I mean, some people say, you know, I know my limit. But a lot of times you misjudge your limit. I mean, alcohol will put you to a point to where you can't make the right decision no matter what. Now, okay, I know some people, going back to what you said, if they take one drink or a couple of sips from one drink, you got to drive them home.
That's right.
But I know some people can drink a 55-gallon drum full, and they'll sit around and laugh at you all day long.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean that they're still in their right mind,
right,
because they can maintain that. You are still out of order as a Christian.
Absolutely.
When you start consuming wine or anything that will inebriate you to where you cannot communicate with God on the proper level.
Yes.
Because, number one, we got to realize Christians are called saints, Christians are priests, and Dr. Youngblood, we're supposed to live a holy and a separated life unto God. So if we're doing the same thing like the rest of the people out in the world are doing, which is taking drinks, consuming, and then the next thing we know, we end up doing things, acting like the world, saying things like the world, doing things like the world, how are we going to make the difference?
Yes, we're going
to
look.
The Bible tells us to make a difference between holy and unholy, clean and unclean.
That's right.
So let's make sure we do it like the Word says.
That's right. In fact, we'll look at that in Proverbs chapter 23 in just a moment. We're going to exegete that verse by verse by verse and validate what we're saying in relationship to that. In fact, when you study 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, it is the drunkard, one of the ones that will not go to heaven, is the drunk, the drunkard. And, of course, you'll have the argument, just as we had a moment ago with the caller, that there's a difference in drinking and being drunk.
Amen.
I want somebody to tell me why then the statistics are as they are. I'm looking at an article that says, the harm caused by alcoholic beverages is actually much more common than we think. Each year, alcohol kills approximately 95,000 people, 68,000 men, 27,000 women in the United States. In 2019, there was 10,142 drunk driving deaths in the United States, accounting for 28% of all driving deaths in America. In 2018, the top international medical journal, The Lancet, gave alcoholic drinkers a bitter pill to swallow. After a systematic review on alcoholic consumption and health effects in 195 countries from 1990 to 2016, the study concluded that it is not safe to have any intake of alcoholic beverages at all.
Amen. Amen.
And yet for a Christian to say it's okay for me to drink because it is brings joy, no, it brings stupidity. I've not been around anybody that's had one or two drinks that do not act stupid in all they say and do. It's a drunken stupor. And as I tried to get the caller a moment ago, you can take 100 people and line them up, give them all one Bud Dumber, and let them all take the drink. 99 of them might be able to walk away and never touch it again. But that one will become an absolute drunk for the rest of his life.
Amen.
I grew up with a stepdad.
Amen.
That he could smell the stuff and would go raging, want to kill everybody in the house.
Well, just let me testify.
I know what alcoholic beverages can do.
Let me testify, Dr. Youngblood,
right,
as a person that used to consume that before I came to Christ. There is nothing about that right now that I see in that I want to revisit that.
That's right.
Why? Because now I have committed my life to Christ, and God delivered me from that. So why should I want to go back to where God has delivered me from, knowing that it's just going to bring a shame and a scandal upon his name? Mm-hmm. Now, okay, he said he was a Christian. He must not love the Lord very much.
That's right.
If he's willing to continue doing the same thing that God was supposed to have delivered him from before he came to Christ. Mm-hmm. So let's make sure we know and understand who it is we are serving. Let me read these few verses on moderation, yes, and I'll let you continue with what you have. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 say, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Why would you want to drink and end up in a drunken stupor, and the Lord is coming? Mm-hmm. Suppose he comes at that very time that you're in that drunken stupor. Mm-hmm. Look where you're going.
That's right.
It's not worth it.
No.
Your salvation is not worth it. No. If you're going to jeopardize your salvation for a drink, my friend, that's a mighty poor decision.
Well, for a person to say, a Christian can drink, he just can't be a drunkard. Who draws the line? Who makes the determination? Do we make a determination of drunkenness based on a state driving standard that gives you the alcohol consumption level that's shown on an alcoholic test, breathalyzer, et cetera? Do we make that decision and use that to overlay on the scripture and allow that to direct our lives as what God's word says? In fact, the text you read earlier in Proverbs 31, King the Mule, it is saying that a leader is not to drink alcoholic beverages.
Amen. Amen.
You can go throughout the scripture. Old Testament, a God-fearer. New Testament, a Christian. And yet we have multitudes today that think that somehow, some way, that it's okay. In fact, I'm looking at one article that says, the myth of moderation, there's no safe amount of alcohol.
Amen.
No
Amen.
Safe amount.
Amen. I'll tell anybody
this, that. This is a six-page medical survey study on the subject, says that there is no safe amount of alcohol.
Amen.
And so the question is, why would a Christian want to put something in his body that can some way alter his mind, his thinking, his directions, his actions, his activities? In fact, it goes back again to the Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is debauchery.
Amen.
But there's another word there. But it's a transition. It's a contrast. Be ye filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That is, do not live a life of debauchery, which is drinking alcoholic beverages. Contrarywise, in contrast to that, be filled. Let the Holy Spirit of God fill your life. Let the Holy Spirit of God bring the joy. Let the Holy Spirit of God do the directing. Let the Holy Spirit of God be the controller in your life,
Amen.
Not the alcoholic beverages.
Amen.
That's what the text is saying.
Amen.
But there's so many that get so uptight with it because they want to drink and have their toddy, as some calls it. I've never touched a drop in my life, so I can say without any equivocation, I don't have any taste for it, no desire for it, and contrary to that even, have no interest in it because the Word of God says no, no, no
Amen.
For the Christian.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, I understand it's a tough subject for you to hear today. I understand that it's one that gets a few folks that wants to ride the fence in their, quote, spirituality. And contrarywise, there's no way that a Christian can say, I can drink and have my toddy, get drunk at night, go into a stupor. As long as I'm walking on 2 feet the next day, it's okay. And that's what a person is saying when they say that it's all right to drink. We're going to look at it a little bit more in detail after the news in just a moment. But ladies and gentlemen, there's a major, major, major problem in society today with the progressives, with the woke cancel culture society, and with the moderation mindset. It is the myth of moderation that will destroy a person's heart, his life, his witness, his testimony for Jesus Christ, and in fact can wind up taking one's life as a result of alcoholic beverages.
Amen.
We're going to talk about it after the top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back in about 1 minute.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.